They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is the Managing Director of Corneliso Trading. His name is Willem, and we're going to be talking about an interesting topic that he and I spoke about several months ago in July, and also what is going on in Europe. Willem is from the Netherlands. You're going to find out that he doesn't sound like he's from around here. And we'll take this right now. Willem, welcome. So good to see you and Marina again here in Phoenix, Arizona. We last met in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me here. We met a couple of weeks ago or months ago in Las Vegas. And from there we started talking. So I found it very interesting to talk to you and give you a little bit of an insight of what is going on in the Netherlands. So
I want to first talk about your company. What is it that you do?
We have a wholesale company, so we stock diesel engine spare parts. We started off as a stockholder for marine engine diesels, and slowly we're moving into the earth-moving field. That's why we became a member of IDA,
yeah,
to learn more about that type of industry.
And so is your main source of customers in Europe?
No, we sell worldwide because most of the marine companies, they both travel worldwide, but also their offices are often in a place where it has the best tax climate. So
right.
It's a very international world.
Yeah, and you travel a lot?
Yeah, we travel quite a lot. Depends which year. After the pandemic, we slowed it down a little bit. But before, I went 4 or 5 times per year to America, and we travel North Europe, South Europe. So we travel quite a bit.
You and I had a conversation, brief conversation, about some concerns that you have that going on in the European Union with some product and manufacturing of some products that could put some folks in jeopardy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you mean about the PFAS problems.
Yeah, so we're going to really dumb this down for our audience right now.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what is the concern from the government about a product that's used in manufacturing what?
It's PFAS is the chemical name. And this is a big group of products that also contain like Viton and silicons. So it's a wide, broad group of chemical products that are used to make O-rings and
O-rings.
Seals.
O-rings.
Yes.
Now, which, and for folks that may not know that, O-rings are in everything.
Yeah, O-rings are used in the automotive industry, so they are in every car, in every plane, every equipment, part of equipment that they use in the army or in the military, even contact lenses, heart stents, so if you have like a heart surgery, they use products with the same content.
Now, the issue is that once these are manufactured goods, from what I understand, there is no danger to individuals because they are almost ambiguous. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's these products are dangerous to manufacture, because they cannot really very well control the production. So you get some leakage and some contamination of cooling water, and it can go into the air. But once it's finished, when it's a finished product, it stays there forever. I mean, it doesn't evaporate or it doesn't leak. So basically the use of the products is not dangerous, only the production is dangerous.
All right, and so now we come back to the Netherlands and to the European Union, who are seeking, and this also impacts the United States, who are seeking to, as I understand it, ban this product, and in a relatively short amount of time, yes?
Yeah, they The European Union wants to, a couple of countries in the European Union, like the Netherlands, Germany, some Scandinavian countries, they want a total ban on the product. So that means on the production, stocking the product and selling the product. So if you think about, we can get this from America or from China if they produce longer than we do. Even that doesn't work because you're not allowed to trade it. So there will be a total ban. And there is now they're working on a new law, a European law, to get this finalized by 2025, which is very soon. These products are mainly used for high temperature and very wet environment, and they were basically the replacement for asbestos products.
Is that where it comes from? So asbestos has already been banned because of its carcinogen makeup, and so this is next in line. What and because this is ambiguous, people are using this all over. If there is a ban placed on this within the next 2 years by the EU, it's sure to come to the United States, I would imagine, soon.
Yeah, that is. I think it's very close because even some weeks ago we found out that 3M, which is the biggest producer in the United States of these products, they're going to stop production by the end of the year.
Wow.
So I think they fear a lot of claims or, they don't want to go into trouble. So they basically said we stop.
So here's the big question. I believe what you're asking on behalf of distributors of these products that are critical to the utilization of almost everything from vehicles to marine life, that the governments delay this for a number of years so that a replacement product can come online?
Yeah, you're right. That is what we are aiming for. So we try to influence the European community or the EU that the legislation will be later than 2025. So that we have some time to find new alternative products. Because no one is really against this ban, because it's basically a good thing for the health of people, but there must be a good alternative. Otherwise, basically, the whole world will come to a stop.
Well, of course. I mean, if O-ring, I mean, we're just talking about one product, O-rings, but there are many more.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of applications for these products, like at home when you have your sticky pan, or how you call it,
Teflon.
Mm-hmm. Teflon. Is also one of these goods. And also in your rubber boots or your raincoat or whatever, these products are used to make it water resistant.
So this impacts not only the manufacture of engines and marine boats and spacecrafts, but also, and stents, heart stents, but this is wearables as well, yeah?
Yeah, it's in a lot of different products, and people don't realize that it will impact them a lot, because it's all in the news, but only from one side. I mean, everyone says, hey, this is dangerous, we have to ban it, but no one looks at an alternative. And now the car industry got awake, and they start to make some noise, and also the army and the military and the navy, because they know that if they cannot buy this product, they're also in a big problem because they cannot operate their equipment.
Wilhelm, how far away do you think the founding of a replacement for this product might be?
People are working to find alternatives, but for some goods there is an alternative, but for especially the products that need protection against high temperature, it's dangerous, or it's difficult to find these products. So people are working on it, but I think they need at least 5-6 years to find the right product and get it tested. Because if you find it, you also have to test it for a couple of years.
Sure.
So it's not done overnight.
Nothing is done overnight. His name is William Cornelso, and we're talking about a product that's key to so much in manufacturing, and perhaps getting jerked off of utilization and banning the sale before there's really a replacement found. How much time do you spend, Willem, in dealing with this?
Well, I'm the treasurer of a trade association, so we have every 2 weeks we have online meetings, like Zoom meetings with our members, which are international. And well, we try to find out what happens in different countries in the world, because it will all affect us at the end. I mean, it is different different rules, different legislation around the world, but nevertheless we all will save this, find the same problem somewhere. So we try to learn from each other and internationally hear how far we are in this process and what manufacturers are thinking. So in our group of our association, which is called EMISA, we also have people who produce O-rings, a couple of German companies that are deep into the technique already, and also for shaft seals for ships and so on. So everyone is working hard, but I think we need at least another 10 years to find the right product.
Fascinating story, and one that I think so many people don't have any idea what the implication is should this move forward in legislation. Willem, thank you so much for visiting with me. It was a pleasure to see you and Marina again just months after we met in Las Vegas. I've found you folks very charming, insightful, and very committed to what it is that you're doing. So thank you for spending time with me.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael, and I hope to see you soon again.
Again, that's the voice of Willem Cornelissen from the Netherlands talking about an important development with regard to almost every single moving part made anywhere. The U.S., Europe, China, anywhere. Fascinating. And yes, we will have links to his website up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.